Moncrief on News Talk.
There was a recent very Irish case where men in and around Adair in County Limerick were buying a legal poutine from a man who would deliver it. The delivery man was caught by the guards for driving without insurance. As I say, a very Irish story. So the delivery stopped, and as a result, a number of his customers got sick with withdrawal symptoms. Padraig O'Gwealish makes Mickle a legal poutine, though he does know something about how the queer stuff is produced. Padraig, good afternoon to you. Padraig, are you there?
I am indeed, yes.
Ah, there you are. Fantastic stuff. As I understand it, like there's generations in your family who are making poutine.
Yeah, that's right. So the name Mickle is our great-grandfather's first name, and we've been making it throughout the generations. And my brother, he's the head distiller at Mickle. So, yeah, we've continued the long legacy of making it.
Right, okay.
Obviously, we're doing it legally now since 2016.
Right, of course. And so back originally, how, like, there's perhaps a perception it was made from potatoes.
Yeah, it's one of the big misconceptions around poutine that it was extremely high strength and made from potatoes. In reality, it's made in a small pot still. That's where the name comes from. It's an Irish language word. So pot is putte, poutine is small pot. It's not really made from potatoes. It's mostly made from malted cereals. So the likes of barley, oats, wheat and rye. And the last thing then is the strength. You know, the traditional pot still, you know, method, you don't really get spirit at, you know, the strength that some people say, like 80, 90, etc. So really, traditionally made poutine would be coming off the still at 60 or 70% alcohol by volume. And then later, any, you know, I suppose, responsible distiller would be cutting it back, you know, to a lower bottling strength.
Yeah. So there is this, well, and where does the perception come from that it was made kind of in sheds from potatoes and fellas were going blind and all that kind of stuff from it?
You know, there's two kind of main reasons for it. You know, we're great storytellers here in Ireland, and we never let kind of exaggeration get in the way of telling a good one. But the second piece is, you know, as we've seen sort of with food and stuff like that, how some people have kind of become disconnected from, you know, the craft of making it. So it's just a really common misconception. It's easier to explain in a very short sentence, oh, it's made from potatoes, rather than actually taking the time to understand and explain it's made from malted cereals.
Yeah. And, now, would those course, things have been like a couple of hundred years ago? Would people have had access to that kind of stuff? I mean, malted cereal.
Absolutely. I mean, the farmers who were primarily making, you know, poutine, they would have had surplus cereals, and then they'd malt those cereals. And of course, some of them would use turf to dry out the cereals in a kiln. And that's how you had a smoky spirit. Like we have one, for example, our heritage poutine, which is reflective of that era. We also have a more modern one, which is made with unpeated cereals, which is 100% barley. And the other one is a mix of barley and oats. But they did have the equipment, and it was just, you know, like they had a real intuition and a real skill for making this. And yeah, so they knew exactly what to do. And actually, poutine making is actually where whiskey making comes from. So obviously, I've kind of explained, you know, where the word poutine comes from. It's small pot still. But it's actually the origins of whiskey as well. And of course, we still in the Gaeltacht use the word fushke to describe what has later been anglicised into whiskey. That's where whiskey comes from. It originates from the water of life, aqua vitae, later translated into Irish and then later anglicised into English.
And of course, there would be, and there's many producers around the country making single pot whiskies as well. So that's an old tradition there.
100%, and I suppose they wouldn't have that tradition without the poutine or the fushki makers. And of course, we're producers of whiskey as well. We make it in the poutine style, in the sense of we're using a small, you know, pot still as well. You know, so we're staying with our traditions, and we also don't have a spirit safe, so we don't need that. Jimmy, the head distiller, he's our spirit safe, so he only makes the cuts by nose and by palate, which is really different from the, you know, the more conventional way of doing it.
Yeah, and so what would be the conventional way if you have a spirit safe?
So the spirit safe is a way, like originally it was introduced again by British tax collectors, you know, when we were under British rule. You know, this was a way of recording and making sure that no spirit, it was to record the yield of spirit and also to make sure that no spirit went missing. But the methods of recording are much more sophisticated now, so there's no requirement for a spirit safe. It's just a tradition that has remained, you know.
Yeah, and so traditionally, traditionally, how would people drink it? Would they have a bit of water in it? Would it be a kind of a shot type thing?
Great question. So yes, they would drink it neat, yes, with a drop of water. But in the colder months, they would have often made like, I suppose what we consider now like a hot toddy. In the Irish language, we'd refer to it like as punch. So it would be hot water, bit of sweetener like the likes of sugar or honey. And then there was another drink, some of the listeners may or may not have heard of this one. It would be known as Scaltine, which was a combination of poutine or whiskey, plus again some sweetener in the form of sugar or honey. And then you'd have either cream or butter. Cream was more, I suppose, you know, dominant. And of course, you know, then you have, if you like, the origins of, you know, Irish cream liqueur, which is actually one of the other traditions that we continue. But that was originally a hot drink. And, you know, modern day cream liqueurs like our own are mostly consumed cold, with the exception of, you know, your kind of cream liqueur Irish coffee. So yeah, they would be kind of the primary drinks. So a lot of them hot. But these days now, people have moved on. And if you go to the likes of, you know, Bar 1661 in Dublin, you can have like a poutine margarita, or, you know, all around the country, you know, poutine is having this incredible resurgence, you know, and there's, you know, amazing drinks on menus, and the younger generation are really embracing it as a category and as a spirit.
Yeah. Now, and so if people would have been having kind of hot toddies during this. Now, it was illegal. Who made it illegal?
Yeah, again, similar to the, I suppose taxes were brought in by the, you know, British Parliament originally, and they also made it illegal. And as I said at the beginning, sort of small pot still, it was really difficult for them, you know, to regulate and control small pot stills because they could be moved from one place to the other. So from a tax collection perspective, it was really difficult. So what they did was they just monopolized it, and they created licensing that favored people who had capital, and they could buy big stills. So there actually was a law which effectively banned poutine making, because you needed a still of a certain size to actually make poutine. And thankfully that law, you know, there's additional legislation now to allow for smaller stills, hence why we're able to use the smaller still. But basically, yeah, it was to allow Parliament whisky makers make their whisky, and basically outlaw the poutine makers that were making this for centuries.
All right. So, but when? When we won independence?
Oh yeah, great question. 1661 was the year that tax was first introduced on alcohol, on spirits rather, and then by 1731, small pot stills and poutine making were banned, and they weren't legalised again until 1997. So we had a long period of illicit poutine.
Okay, so we didn't rush into anything there, that's for sure. Because it's surprising
we
the Irish state didn't legalise it when, you know, when we won independence.
They took their time, you know. I think, being honest, like, I think a lot of people were ignorant about, you know, the old traditions, and, you know, if it's a well-made spirit, how amazing it is as a spirit, you know. So it was something, I suppose, that they feared rather than kind of cherished or respected. So yeah, thankfully the legislation changed, and, you know, it's paved the way for the likes of, you know, brands like Mickle to, you know, bring you know, this national treasure to the market, you know, our native spirit.
And nowadays, are people drinking it neat? Or, because you did mention this, you know, you can get one in margarita form. Is it mostly in cocktails people are drinking it now?
It is in cocktails, and it's actually amazing the change. Like, you know, if you go back to 2016, you know, you'd have a lot of on-trade or publican supporters who'd like to take it on. But, like, the big question for them is, like, how do we serve this? And now it's kind of changed from a question of, yeah, look, we're going to try one poutine or something to that effect. Now it's like, you know, how many drinks am I going to put on my menu? And the top cocktail bars are using poutine, you know, as part of their menus. And why wouldn't they? If we're championing, you know, Irish food, we should champion, you know, our amazing distilling heritage that we have here and this amazing product that we have.
Are you exporting much of it?
We're definitely exporting. Like, we at Nickel, we export to 10 different international markets. I will say, you know, that our whiskey and our cream liqueur and our gin, you know, they are selling in greater volumes. But for sure, poutine is a really, really exciting category, and it is showing, you know, great growth. And look, it wouldn't be possible without, you know, great supporters in the people that can kind of follow the brand, whether that's the trade or consumers, you know.
Yeah, because I suppose if you're exporting it to other territories, you have to explain what it is or give something of the history of it to people.
Yes, and here's the funny thing, you know, with the particular kind of Irish generation, they'd be kind of, you know, when they're trying it, they're kind of a little bit apprehensive. And then when they try it, they're pleasantly surprised. But when you present this to people from other countries, they're generally very neutral and they're excited to try it. And they don't have any of the baggage, if you like, that some people had here, you know, because we've all heard of the negative stories, you know?
Yeah, well, no, indeed. I mean, do you lean into that? Do you have pictures on the label of, you know, old fellas with caps, you know, in their barn making this stuff?
we very much lean into, you know, I suppose, yes, we lean into the modern way that we're making it, but we do embrace our past. The past is illicit, you know, the past is, you know, craftsmanship. It's about using, you know, high quality ingredients. You know, we talk about the turf that we use for our piece of poutine, and we talk about making great drinks. Ultimately, that's what it's about, and it's the people behind the brand. So, yeah, we're a modern brand, but we have a great history. So we're not, you know, too fixated on the past. The past is what, you know, gives us the guidance in terms of what to do in the future. But this is a modern spirit. So no, it's not really about, you know, the caps as you were talking about. So it's a much more modern spirit these days.
Yeah, and obviously your various generations have been making the drink, as you said. Presumably they were all farmers. You're just exclusively a poutine maker now, or is the farming?
No, we're still farming. Right. You know, so from us, and we're boggers as well. You know, I mean that in the best way possible. We still cut our own turf, but so we do have cattle and horses. So we keep, you know, Connemara ponies and suckler cows, and it's a great thing because the spent grain from the brewing process, you know, we feed that to the cattle and the horses, and people who come into the visitor centre then, you know, they can see the distilling happening, and, you know, they can see sort of the grain we're using and really smell it, and yeah, they can see it kind of start to finish.
Right, and everybody benefits. Padraig, thanks very much for speaking with us today. That's Padraig O'Gwealish there, the manufacturer of Mickle, which is Irish. But you're one of the, because apparently I think Kneecap have their own brand of poutine, which has a little kind of kneecap, you know, balaclava on the top of it. One texter says, my granddad and all of his brothers used to make poutine in their home in Tipperary. He was a fan of the drink until the day he died. Definitely the illegal stuff. Someone else says, I tell you, there was something in Ishkabaha 2 nights ago. I could not warm up at all. So I made a hot toddy and I felt the heat pumping around my body. Years ago, my father, this is a great story from David. Years ago, my father gave me a small bottle of poutine to take back to England. I stuck a label on it that said holy water. And of course, nobody would question that. Ah, sure, says Richard the Thatcher, says, ah, sure, it's not real poutine unless it's made illegally in some little calf shed in a remote spot under the light of a full moon by lads dressed in nothing but fertiliser sacks and welly boots. And sure, the clandestine purchase of an illegal bottle of the stuff is half the buzz. Richard, of course, is a traditionalist.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.